Hello, friends, and welcome to the Legacy Homeschool Reflections Podcast. My name is Ruth Adams, and I am a homeschool graduate from the vintage days of the homeschooling movement. My husband, Matt, and I are busy carrying home education into the second generation as we seek to disciple our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord using the tool of homeschooling. We are so grateful that having our children at home with us enables us to create a 24/7 discipleship center in our home where we can approach every subject with the goal of making Christ preeminent in all things and letting all of our learning be built upon the foundation of God's Word. Our scripture verse for this episode of the podcast is Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. One thing I've noticed seems to be a common struggle for homeschooling mamas is fear. I know this because I have dealt with it often on myself and because I have observed it in many other mamas. We can often be afraid that we are not doing a good enough job in our mothering, that we are not homeschooling perfectly, and then we're going to mess up our children, that we don't have what it takes to persevere in the homeschool journey, and many other fears that can grip our mama's hearts. This passage in Isaiah tells us not to fear. It reminds us that our God is with us to strengthen us, to help us, and to uphold us with his righteous right hand. That is a reassuring dose of comfort for any mother's heart. On this episode of the podcast, I have such a treat in store for you. Today, I'm going to interview Jamie Erickson, author of a book that came out just this year titled Homeschool Bravely from Moody Publishers. I am excited about this interview because I believe it is going to be a real encouragement to all of our hearts. Jamie Erickson taught elementary school before becoming a mother. When her first child turned 5, she made the decision to homeschool her daughter. 4 more children followed and she homeschools all 5. Jamie is the founder of The Unlikely Homeschool and a popular education blogger. Her website, social media channels, and blog encourage and equip a growing tribe of more than 50,000 homeschooling mothers around the world. She has written for a number of homeschool publications. Jamie is also a co-host of the Mom to Mom podcast. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome to the podcast, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having me, Ruth. It's an honor to be here with you.
Well, I'm excited about this. And I'd just like to ask you, how did you make the decision to homeschool your children? And what has the journey looked like since that decision?
Well, I'll back up by saying I'm married to a formerly homeschooled graduate. And my husband was homeschooled from 6th grade all the way through, and I have a teacher's background. And so when you put those two things together and we got married and looked to the future and started to make some plans for our family, I was really hesitant about homeschooling. I never, ever thought or could envision that God would have this for us because I was a teacher. And I, at the time, was teaching at a local Christian school. And I just thought that on paper, it looked like a great idea that once I had children, they would just follow me into the classroom and we'd have the same days off and the same vacation. And if they got sick, I could stay at home with them. It just seemed like in theory, it was the best way. But like with many things in my life, I've learned that, you know, I can make my plans, but God has some different plans sometimes. And his are so much better than anything I would ever lay down as a plan.
That's really great. It's interesting to hear how people came to homeschooling. That's interesting to know that your husband was a homeschool graduate himself.
Yeah, he's the proof that it works. Whenever I kind of start to settle into some fears, thinking, oh, are they going to turn out whatever turnout means? Yeah. You know, I can look to him and see, you know, he's a godly man who's a contributing member of society. He has lots of friends, and he's the evidence that God often uses to calm my fears that this thing does work.
That's really great. Well, what has been irreplaceable about homeschooling for you and your family? What are some of the things you love most about it?
Well, first and foremost, I think about the time spent together building relationships as a family with each other. You know, time is the currency of life. And once you spend it, it's gone. You can't get it back. And I think about just these brief years, 18 plus years that I get to have with my kids. And I also think about the fact that when I was a teacher in the school system, and I kind of got to see the underbelly, all the things that a lot of parents don't get to see. And I realize how very little I would actually get to spend, how very little time I'd get to spend with my kids if I sent them off to a classroom each day. And even more than that, how very little time they'd get to spend with each other. And so this time that I'm able to invest in them and they're able to invest in each other is irreplaceable. And I will never regret taking that time to be with them. I also think it's a huge added benefit that I get to filter every piece of their life through a lens of the gospel. Every single part of our day can be centered around God's word and his truth. And I can really capitalize on some unplanned lessons that creep up in the day, you know, when you have sibling squabbles maybe, or I think of a time where I was teaching my kindergartner a poem, just a silly little poem that I had memorized as a kindergartner years and years and years ago. And I had memorized it because it was a punishment for me for having lied to my teacher. And I took that opportunity there with my kindergartner to remind him of that and to teach him that lesson that I had to learn through that poem. And if he would have been off in the school system and his teacher would have introduced him to that poem, it would have just been a poem and that's it. But I could really use that as a life lesson and teach him about the time that I had lied to my teacher and had to say this poem as a punishment. And so I was able to multiply that lesson because he was at home with me and I had the time to talk to him about it.
I love that. And I so agree with you. And we just sent off our firstborn to college. And so she's 9 hours away now and driving back and just processing how fast the time went that I had with her. And just thinking, praise God that for the last 18 years, I got to spend every day with my daughter because the time is up now. And I'm so thankful for even the hard days where I was pulling my hair out because I got to be, Charles Spurgeon has this quote that I love. It says, the voices of childhood echo throughout life. The first learned is generally the last forgotten. And I'm comforted to know that I got to be that primary voice in her life for 18 years. Reading the word of God to her, reading stories of virtue and truth and character to her. And I believe that God is going to allow that voice to continue with her now in this new season of her life. And I'm just so thankful. And of course, it made me come home with, after dropping her off, even greater intentionality of, oh, I want to, you know, maximize the time with these six that I still have under my roof. Because you're so right. It does go by so quickly. So that's
right. Yes, and you were able to build such a solid foundation. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I can imagine that when you came home, you were able to have maybe a sturdier perspective to know that, yes, those kind of bad days happen when you lose your patience or you feel overwhelmed with all the tasks that you have to do as a homeschool mom, but sending your daughter fully prepared out the door to face what she needs to at college, being girded in truth, maybe really did offer you some perspective for those hard days that it was just a small minor thing in the grand scheme of things.
Right, right. And I think when they're little, you kind of think, oh, the days are never going to end. You know, these hard days.
Mm-hmm.
Side of it, and you think, wow, that went quick. So, yes. Well, I'm wondering about a mama with a child who can be particularly difficult. Why should she consider homeschooling when getting the challenging child out of the house might seem like such a win-win? Maybe it would seem like it would make her life easier.
Well, I think that it obviously in a lot of ways would be easier to send a difficult child out the door, but that would really be only a Band-Aid to the problem. And it would be like duct tape. And for a while, duct tape will be a nice little quick fix, but it's not a cure. And what will happen is things start to crumble underneath. So we have to remember as moms, if we have a difficult child, and I actually don't know of a homeschool mom who doesn't have a difficult child, because we're all imperfect people living with other imperfect people in an imperfect world. And so what I often tell those moms is, God gave you this child for a reason. And it wasn't just because of what you could offer this child, although I think that has a lot to do with it. He knew that you would be the right mother to be able to help to sculpt and mold this child in his sanctification to be what he is, you know, God designed to be. But it's also on purpose that child was given to you. There's something about this child that you need in your sanctification, maybe to help iron some things out in your personality, impatience maybe, or love, the things that God needs to work out with you. So yes, you can send your child out the door and it will be like a Band-Aid, a quick fix for a while. But I think in doing so, you're actually obeying a gospel of convenience, because you're not digging in and doing the hard work that sometimes sanctification demands, you know. So yes, the days can be very long and it can be difficult to mother those difficult children well, but God chose you for the job. And he has some things that you need to learn, and there's some things that child needs to learn. But don't question his ability to choose wisely.
That's right. Yes. I always say that, you know, anything worth having, there's usually a sacrifice or a price involved that has to be paid mm-hmm. if we're to have something of worth. And so if we want to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, we want to get to their hearts and disciple them, which is what I think I'm hearing you say here. It takes work. It takes pouring ourselves into it. It takes you know, following the Lord when he leads us down this path, and knowing that it will be his strength flowing through us that will enable us to persevere and to take the easy route. Because a lot of times the easy route is not the right route.
Right. And I would say that same statement can be echoed for all of homeschooling, not just your difficult child. Anything in life worth doing is going to be difficult, because the good things, Satan wants to veer us off track when we're following in obedience in God's will for our lives and in his plans. And so anything worth doing, anything that God has placed in front of us, Satan wants to thwart our efforts. And so they're often going to be those hard things. But in the end, it will be worth it. Like we had just mentioned, you won't regret that time that you took with your children.
That's so wise. I think that leads well into our next question, because I think Satan oftentimes feeds parents lies. And what are some of the typical lies that you've noticed that homeschool parents tend to be tempted to believe? And how does the Lord respond to them?
Well, I think one of the biggest lies that we can begin to believe as homeschool moms is that we're unqualified. And I want all moms to hear this verse. It's one of my favorites, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. And that's what we need to remember. We actually are unable. We are unqualified. But we have a big God who is more than able, who makes us qualified. I think we can also really fear that our kids will be quote unquote unsocialized, that maybe they'll be the weird ones out in society. And I often remember 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. My children need protection and guidance more than they just need like a social outing. during these formative years. Proverbs 13:20 reminds us, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. These are promises from God. And the other thing that we need to remember about socialization is there are weird, quote unquote, weird kids in every single educational, you know, choice. I was a classroom teacher, and there are plenty of kids in the classroom that are shy, that are socialized, that are weird, that are quote unquote normal, just as there are in homeschooling. I think homeschooling actually provides an opportunity for a child to form a one-piece life, to truly be able to form the life that God has them to be, and to walk boldly in the personality that He has given them without the pressure of peers and the trendy and current cultural things. And so I wouldn't fear that my kids would be weird or unsocialized. In fact, I'd say to a mom who sort of fears that, we're already in second generation status for homeschooling. And so we can look to grown adults who were homeschooled, and they are all functioning members of society who are serving God, who are loving their families, who are walking in obedience, who are quote unquote normal.
Yes. Yes.
I think another fear that often creeps up for moms is that they'll miss something, that they'll have some kind of educational gap, that their kids will have an educational gap. Maybe they'll forget to teach some important something. But I can tell you from my own experience within the classroom and as a student myself, you know, I graduated from college with honors. I was asked to speak at the graduation. I was given a certificate that says legally I have the right to teach other people's children. And I can tell you there were many gaps in my education, but gaps get filled over time. You know, I believe it was Einstein, correct me if I'm wrong, who said necessity is the mother of invention. When your children need to know something, that some important something that maybe you forgot or maybe just didn't get around to teaching, when they need to know it, they'll go looking for the answer and they'll find it. And that really is what true education is all about, is seeking it out and learning it. And actually, you're modeling a lifetime of learning in encouraging them to seek out the answers for themselves. And they'll continue to learn throughout, you know, the entirety of their lives, and their education really never has to stop just because they reach grade 12.
And oftentimes homeschoolers are lovers of literature. They love to read, and we can teach ourselves anything if we're good readers.
Absolutely. You know, you teach little ones, they're in the learning to read phase. And as soon as they cross that great divide to the reading to learn phase, well, then the sky is the limit. They can read anything.
Yes. Well, a verse that came to my mind about this, where Satan is feeding us lies, is just Isaiah 55:8-9. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We have all had good and bad days in our homeschool journey. What are some truths the Lord has given you to cling to during those rough days, during those dark days of homeschooling? Because I know, I would say having bad days is a pretty normal thing off and on in homeschooling, but then sometimes we face severe crises points along the way. And I know 4 years ago, I nearly died. And that was a time of, you know, severe trial. But the Lord was so faithful to our family. And we give Him all the praise. But what are some of the truths that the Lord has given you just to cling to, both in those everyday, you know, normal bad days, and in those big, big life events that are huge trials that a lot of people might be tempted to just say, it's too hard, we're going to sink, we need to put them back in school?
Yes. Well, those bad days will come. You know, Jesus promised us in this world, you will have trouble. But He's also given us so much truth to cling to in His word. And here's something that I do every single year before the school year even starts. Through the summer, I begin praying and I say, Lord, I know that you know what I will face this school year, all the particulars, even the struggles. And while I don't know what those are, I'm entrusting you. Will you please provide a special word of truth from your word, a scripture verse that I can cling to this particular school year, so that on those dark days, on those really crazy days, or, you know, when I do face a struggle, I won't cave, that I'll be able to cling to your word because you've already given me your word. And so every year without fail, he does. And by the time I start school, I've found a nugget of truth in his word that I claim as my school year verse. And it's just so amazing to me, in his providence, he knows exactly what I'll need even before I do, that I find as the school year progresses, I realize exactly why he gave me that verse. I have often clung to Philippians 1:6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God has good plans for my kids, and he has good plans for me. And even in the dark days when it doesn't seem like there's anything good happening, he will fulfill that promise. He has good plans, and I just need to remember that. I think that it's on those dark days, if we can just remember, it's in those dark days that so much of the refinement and the sanctification come in. And homeschooling is often more about transformation than it is about information. So I would just encourage a mom on a dark day, don't wish it away. Don't pray it away necessarily. Be able to sit in the struggle so that God can teach you and use that struggle in your sanctification and in the sanctification of your children. It's not easy to do. I remember 2 years ago, my oldest daughter had what, for all intents and purposes, was a heart attack. And she was air-vacced to 2 hours away to a children's pediatric cardiac ICU. And I sat at her bedside not knowing, you know, is this going to be it for her? And that was a very hard day. And that was a very hard year for our homeschool because she did, praise the Lord, recover. But it was a lot of back and forth to doctor's appointments and surgery. And it was a struggling year. But I wouldn't wish it away. There were good things that God gave us, mercies that he gave us in those dark days. And we learned, if nothing else, we learned to cling to him when we had nothing else. And I would never wish that away.
That's a powerful testimony. Wow. And I love what you said. Homeschooling is more about transformation than information. That is so good. Philippians 4:19 tells us that our God will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Jamie, can you recount some ways that the Lord has been faithful to provide everything that you have needed in your homeschool?
Well, one particular instance comes to mind, although I'm sure if I sat in it for a second, I could think of many, many ways that God has been big in my homeschool when I needed him most. But I can think back to 2008, and I had a little kindergarten girl that I was starting out with. And I began to get fearful because I could think of nothing but my inadequacies and my insufficiencies. And I looked ahead and I thought, Lord, you know, I'm not very good at math, and I might be able to muddle through and make it through elementary school math, but someday my daughter, this little cute little five-year-old girl, will need to know algebra, and I don't know algebra. I don't know what I'm doing. How can I possibly come through for her? I am going to fail her, and I could have easily caved to my fears at that point because I knew there's nothing I can do with algebra. Math and I are, you know, lifelong enemies, and we don't play very nice together. But I knew that God had called me to homeschool, and I knew that he had good plans for my kids. And so I just had to step out in obedience. My job was not the results. It was only the obedience. And so in 2008, I began to pray, Lord, someday, you know, 8 years from now, whatever, she would need to know algebra. I'm just trusting you to come through because I know I have nothing. I bring nothing to the table. 3 years later, I met a woman that I didn't know prior. She was a new homeschooling mom by day, an accountant by later in the day, and she did some accounting work on the side to earn some money for her family, and math was her love language. And we became really good friends. And if you fast forward that story a few years later, my daughter was entering eighth grade and she was scheduled to have to start algebra. And a few weeks into the summer, prior to that school year, this friend of mine that I had met, her name was Jackie, and we had become really good friends. She emailed me out of the blue and she said, "Jamie, I'm thinking, toying with the idea of teaching algebra to homeschoolers. I don't know if you'd be interested. I know your daughter is about that age. If you'd be interested at all, I'd love to have her in my little homeschool class." And I opened that email, I read it, and I instantly started crying, because right there was God's answer that I had been praying for the last, you know, 7-8 years. He knew all along exactly how he was going to orchestrate that. And in my prayers, I continued to come to him and lay algebra down at his feet. And he came through like he always does. And it was my chance to cling to him harder and trust in him fully. And he didn't disappoint.
Wow, I love that. And I think these answers to prayer are such faith builders, as we can look back and see the faithfulness of God through when your daughter was in the hospital and when your daughter needed an algebra teacher and all the other many answers to prayers and the scriptures the Lord has given you year by year. And we know the same God that's been faithful in all these years past is the same God that's going to be faithful today, and the same God that's going to be faithful for all of our tomorrows. It's so encouraging.
Right. And you know, all those years ago, back in 2008, had I caved and said, "Well, Lord, I can't homeschool her, obviously, because I can't do algebra," I would have sent her to school. And in 7 or 8 years, she would have learned algebra from a traditional teacher, and that would have worked out. But we would have missed out on everything that God was working on in both of us, both my daughter and myself, during those years. And for me, that was just trusting him more.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, your book is an encouragement to parents who are actively homeschooling, or also to those who are just considering the option of homeschooling. And at the same time, it's also full of universal gospel truth for anyone. What is your prayer for those who pick up homeschool bravely?
I think my initial prayer is that mothers specifically can learn to not just trust God with their child's eternal forevers, but also with their here and nows, with the everyday. I think it's easy sometimes for moms to hand over their child's eternity to God, but then take back the moment by moment struggle and want to have control of that. But as I said before, just a few minutes ago, your job is not the outcome. That's God's job. Your job is just the obedience. So I hope that my book will help a mom to have an open hand to their child's education and allow God to do the good work that he's already promised to do.
That's wonderful. Well, where can listeners find more resources and helpful information? Where can they connect with you?
Well, I'm kind of embarrassingly easy to find on the web. You can reach out to me at theunlikelyhomeschool.com and on Facebook and Instagram under those two headings. I'm also, as you had mentioned before, the co-host of the Mom to Mom podcast, and you can find us at momtomompodcast.com or on Instagram.
Great. Well, Jamie, this has been a joy to have you on the podcast. Thank you for pouring your heart into this book and for being here today to share biblical encouragement with my listeners.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It was a joy.
Well, friends, thank you for tuning into the podcast today. I encourage you to check out Jamie's book and to connect with her online. I want to leave you with this encouragement today. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. May the Lord give us strength to stand firm, to not be moved, and to give ourselves fully to the work he has called us to with our families, knowing that our labor in the Lord is not in vain." I am thankful for this time we have been able to share today, and I will look forward to talking with you next time. Goodbye.